So, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and we're going to talk again about the first episode of Mandalorian, because another Beast Game member has seen it. So, Keith, what did you think of the Mandalorian?
Heard some of the rumbling saying that the people who were involved in it were, and I'm going to say, true Star Wars fans. That is, that they love all of Star Wars, and they don't just jump on the bandwagon of hate for certain things, and all Star Wars, including the expanded canon. So, when I heard that the guy who was directing it was something of a super fan for Star Wars, I was kind of like, okay, well, now let me see what he's going to do. And maybe about 20 minutes into it, kind of confirmed it when they showed a little bit of back history of the Mandalorians themselves. It didn't just make it singular, so I won't spoil anything. And the action was a lot better. The trailers didn't do the movie justice. The action was a lot better than I expected.
Episode TV show.
Call
it the movie.
Oh, it was close. They did a really good
job. It was movie quality CG.
So, yes, I agree. And the effects were movie quality. First episode did what it was supposed to do and knocked you out of the park, introduced you to the world, gave you a brief refresher course. For people who are not super fans of Star Wars, you're going to catch up pretty quickly on what's going on. But for those who are fans who have delved into the lore, especially the lore that Lucas didn't have time or the inclination to really create, but kind of signed off on, you're going to get a lot of Easter eggs and a lot of things that are just going to make you smile. There was a moment where I just kind of just got giddy. It's basically the Forge scene. I was like, oh no, not this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But
I was watching it with James yesterday. He was like,
I know exact part of you. I'm like, subtle the way they did it. No, they're not. Yes, they did. They did it. Just as my wife says, she goes, you had a geek out moment. Couldn't help myself. It was that good. So I'm trying to separate the nostalgia that I'm feeling and the kind of just from those bits from the episode itself. It wasn't perfect. There were a couple of things that were missing. While the action was good, action with weapons and guns has changed since John Wick. And yeah. I think it needs to go in more of that direction.
Like a Watiti droid. Thought that was a good addition, but
that was good. That was cool.
Droids coming back or not, but I liked it a lot.
Really good. And I thought that whole action set piece was well done. But I kind of wanted to see at this stage kind of just make the Mandalorian more of like the title character, more of he's good and everything, but you kind of got to give him an almost supernatural esque kind of ability. So that's why I kind of harbor on like be more like John Wick. You know, he's going to destroy everything, but at the same time, there's some real vulnerability there, of course.
Yeah, make it creative. I wouldn't say that the whole thing wasn't creative, but I guess there will be more episodes that might have some action.
I was impressed. And the ending, I didn't see that coming. I have no idea where it's going to go. It's where they're going. Lucas never went into. He kept it pretty vague intentionally. It can go any number of different directions. Biggest reason why this works so well is that...
No J.J. Abrams.
No J.J. Abrams. None of that bad robot bullshit. All right. Two people who are fans of the series. One person who worked, Jon Favreau, who worked in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And he's trusted. He's trusted by Disney to do a lot of stuff.
He wrote it. He went right for the lore. He knew exactly where to go to for his story ideas. Finally, he's a good storyteller. You think about his movies and everything like that. Iron Man 2 may not have been the best thing in the world, but the guy's a good story.
Cowboys versus how to tell aliens. This show, at least this first episode, shows that it can exist in the Star Wars universe. These J.J. Abrams movies, Solo, Rogue One might be somewhat of an exception, but this one really truly shows the Star Wars universe that...
Uh-huh.
Where Rogue One and Solo failed. I mentioned this on the original podcast, that this show succeeds because, hey, there could be some backstabbing in this world. You see that it might be a rough life in this world. You have this one person just kind of off by themselves doing these random bounty missions. But, I mean, again, based off of what end of this episode shows, and I guess makes me intrigued. And it's only 8 episodes total. I assume... There has to be a lot happening in that second episode and the third episode. And then there might be kind of like, wouldn't say like a mid-season cliffhanger or something and then pick up again.
I think the biggest thing that I see in this is it was remarkably well contained while at the same time opening up for something else. They didn't simply play off. They didn't go off of the traditional binge formula. They went off of a formula told a self-contained episode that led into a much larger arc. It introduced a number of characters that had nothing to do with the original series.
Correct.
Not the original trilogy. they were able to make it work. I think if anything, this will hopefully will tell Disney and Kathleen Kennedy that you do not have to keep digging up, milking the original movies. You don't have to rehash anything. You can tell original storytelling content by people who respect the content, who respect the material, the IP, and who are accomplished storytellers. The core basics of Star Wars has always been good versus evil. And with The Mandalorian, you throw another wrinkle on to it. There's a clear gray area whose character is based off of a villain from the original series. He's an anti-hero. He's always been an anti-hero to...
Well, taking the noble route for this story arc.
I don't know if you're familiar with some of those movies like 13 Assassins or the Japanese samurai films.
Yeah. At least some of Luke's influences. I mean, yeah, that's exactly. The reason why Yoda speaks the way that he does is more Japanese, but the verb comes at the end. Influence is there, but with this, it seems restrained and also intriguing. Again, Star Trek Discovery, that one was just like trying to be too brash. And this felt very restrained, very focused, and it wasn't trying to Hollywood things up too much.
Focus is the idea here.
It's not any social themes or, hey, we need to browbeat you with what our point of view is. It is, this is a take on a Mandalorian in a fantasy world. And I'd say this, but if Star Trek Picard is also great and this show continues to be good, I'm just going to like geek out for like the next couple weeks because... Please, Star Trek Picard, please. Hope everything's all right.
If it does, man. I mean, I don't know what to do myself. If you got Star Trek and Star Wars on the upswing at the same time.
Firing all cylinders and...
I don't know what to do. You know, 2019 is my year. This is one of them.
All right. So what score would you give the first episode of The Mandalorian?
I'm going to be optimistic about this. I'm trying to temper it a solid 8.
Okay. Which is the low score because Mike gave it a 9.5. James gave it a 9.5. I gave it a 9.5.
I'm trying to be as... I don't like...
It's like I've been burned by J.J. Abrams.
Exactly. I've been burned too many times. There were some things I wasn't 100% with. I may give the whole series a 9. I'm hoping if it continues on this trajectory, I can foresee some like goodness. This is good stuff. This is good television. Disney Plus, they were very smart.
They delivered on the one thing they had to deliver on, is that when the service launches, we have a Mandalorian show, and it has to be good.
Pretty much, it has to be good.
But, all right, that is the Beast Game Podcast. Keith has been burned by J.J. Abrams, and will continue to be burned by J.J. Abrams in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, I mean, Mandalorian, if you can, try to watch it. It comes out weekly instead of the Netflix format or Amazon Prime format, but comes out weekly and enjoy.
Every Friday, yes, Lord.